Chapter 47, subject, delivery of the message of Krishna to gopis. Next paragraph, when the gopis first saw Uddhava, they saw him exactly resembling the feature of Krishna, but they could understand that he is a great devotee and follower of Krishna. His hands were very long, his eyes were just like petals of lotus flower. He was dressed in yellow collar garments with a garland of lotus flower. His face was very beautiful. Uddhava, having achieved the liberation of Sarupa, or of the same bodily feature, he was looking almost like Krishna. And the gopis who came to visit Mother Yashoda's house early in the morning, that was their duty on account of Krishna's advent. They knew that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were always remaining agreed. So their first duty was to come there, offer their respect to the most exalted elderly personalities of Vrindavan, and so that by seeing the friends of Krishna, they would remember Krishna and be satisfied. Similarly, by seeing Nanda and Mother Yashoda, the gopis would have been pleased. But now, this day when Uddhava was present, they saw that Uddhava was representing Krishna exactly in bodily feature, and they thought he was a complete surrender soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They began to contemplate within themselves, who is this, a boy, just like Krishna. He has got the same eyes like lotus petal. He has got the same raised nose and beautiful face and ear, smiling in the same fashion. Practically, in all respects, he is representing Krishna, the Shyamasunda, the beautiful blackish boy. And he has dressed also exactly like Krishna. Where from this boy has come? Who is that fortunate girl of whom this beautiful man belongs to be husband? While they are talking about Uddhava like this, they are also very much anxious to know about him. And because they are simple girls in the village of Vrindavan, without any sophistication, they surrounded all around Uddhava. After this, and they understood that Uddhava had a message from Krishna for the gopis, they began very much engaging and called him in a secluded place, offered him a nice place to sit down, and they wanted to talk with him very freely. Therefore, without being ashamed the presence of an unknown person, they began to welcome him with nice words, and in great submissiveness began to inquire from him about Krishna. They said, we know that you are most confidential associate of Krishna. Therefore, he has sent you to Vrindavan for giving solace to his father and mother. We can understand that family affection is very strong. Even great sages who are taken to the renounced order of life, they cannot give up 10% family affection. Sometimes they think of their family members, and therefore Krishna has sent you to his father and mother. Otherwise, he had no other business in the Vrindavan. He is now in the town. What he has got to know about Vrindavan village or the pasturing ground here or the cows? These things are no more useful for Krishna because he is now a man in the city. And persons who do not happen to be his family member, surely he hasn't got anything to do with them. Friendship with members outside the family can be continued so long there is some selfish interest in them. Otherwise, why one should bother about other members who are outside the family? Specifically, a person who is attached to the wives of others, he is interested with them so long there is a need of sense gratification, exactly like the bamboo bees who have interest in the flowers. As long as it likes to taste the honey out of it, it is very natural and psychological that a prostitute does not care for her paramour as soon as the man paramour has lost all monetary resources. Similarly, the citizen, when they find a government is incapable of giving them full protection, they give up such place. The students also, after finishing their education, give up the relationship of the teacher and the school. The priest also, after getting their reward from the worshipper, give up their relationship. When the fruital season is over, the birds are no more interested with the particular tree. A guest, just after eating in the house of the host, gives up his relationship with him. After the forest fire, when there is scarcity of green grass, the deer and other animals also give up that forest. Similarly, a boyfriend, man also, after enjoying his girlfriend, woman, gives up the connection. In this way, all the gopis began to accuse Krishna indirectly by so many examples of practical facts. Next paragraph. In this way, Uddhava experienced that in Vrindavan, all the gopis are simply absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and his different activities of childhood pleasures, boyhood pastimes. In talking about Krishna with Uddhava, they forgot all about their household business or about themselves. Their interest in Krishna gradually increased more and more while talking with Uddhava. One of the gopis, namely Srimati Radhani, she was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bamboo bee, which was flying there and trying to touch the lotus feet of that gopi. And other gopis were talking with Uddhava as messenger from Krishna. Srimati Radharani took that bamboo bee as messenger from Krishna and began to talk with it as follows. Well, you are the bamboo bee, you are very much accustomed to drink honey from flower to flower, and therefore you have preferred to become a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you are. I can see on your moustaches the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared with the flower garland of Krishna while pressing the breast of some other girl who is my competitor. And you are feeling very much proud by touching that flower, and therefore your moustaches has become ready. And you have come here carrying that message for me. Therefore, you are so much anxious to touch my feet. My dear Bambubi, I warn you, don't touch me. I don't want any message from your unreliable master, and I can conjecture also that you are as much an unreliable servant of the unreliable master. It may be that Srimati Radharani purposefully talking with that bamboo bee, sarcastically criticizing the messenger Uddhava, who represented Krishna. Indirectly, Srimati Radharani classified Uddhava not only in the bodily feature as other gopis did, but she wanted to place Uddhava on the same level of quality with Krishna. Indirectly, she indicated that Uddhava was as much unreliable as Krishna himself is. Srimati Radharani wanted to give some practical reasoning why she was so much dissatisfied with Krishna and what to speak with his messenger. She said, addressing the bamboo bee, that your master, Krishna, is exactly of your quality. As you sit down on a flower and just after tasting a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit down in another flower and taste it honey. Your master, Krishna, is exactly of the same nature, because he had given me only once the chance of tasting the touch of his lips, and then he left us altogether. I know also that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who is always in the midst of a lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know how she has become so much captivated by Krishna, and why she is so much attached to Krishna, although she knows the actual character of Krishna. Maybe she is simply captivated by the sweet words of Krishna. Therefore, she could not understand the real character of Krishna. But so far we are concerned, we are more intelligent than goddess of fortune. We are not going to be cheated anymore by Krishna or his messenger. Next paragraph. According to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna has a numerous expansion Vishnu Murtis, similarly, Krishna's pleasure potency, Radharani, has also innumerable expansion of Goddess of Fortune. Therefore, Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmiji, is always anxious to be elevated to the position of the gopis. Srimati Radharani continued to say, "You foolish bamboo bee, you are trying to satisfy me to get some reward while singing the glories of Krishna, but it is useless attempt. We are now bereft of all our possession. We are out of our home and family. We know very well about Krishna more than you, and what you will make us know about Krishna. They are all old stories. Krishna now is in the city and is better known as the friend of Arjuna, and he has now many new girl friends, and they may be very much happy in association with Krishna because their lusty burning sensation on the breast has been satisfied by Krishna. So they are now happy, and if you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You are just trying to pacify me by your behavior of a flatterer, and therefore you have kept your head under my feet. But I know the trick which you are trying to play. At the same time, I know that you are a messenger coming from a greater trick man, Krishna. Please, therefore, leave aside from me. I can understand that you are very much expert in reuniting two opposing parties, but at the same time, you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you, neither upon your master Krishna. And how we can do so? You know that we left our family, our husband, our children, our relatives, only for Krishna. And Krishna returned without feeling any obligation for us, at last left us for long. Do you think we shall place our faith in him again? We know that Krishna cannot be for a moment without being in the association of young woman. That is his nature. And he is finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village or amongst innocent cowherd girls. He is in the aristocratic society and must be feeling difficulty to make friendship with other young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or to take us there. But why Krishna should expect us to return there? He has got a very great qualification to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura. He can do so all over the universe. His wonderful, enchanting smile is so attractive. His movement of eyebrows are so beautiful that he can fall for any woman, not only here, but either in the heavenly planet or in the middle earthly planet or bottom plutonic planet. But to speak of ordinary women, even the Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all goddesses of fortune, she is also hankering after him to render some service. So, in comparison to all these women in the universe, what we are very insignificant. But Krishna advertises himself as very magnanimous and theologized by great sense. So these qualifications could be properly utilized if he could show us some mercy, because we are so much downtrodden and neglected by him. You are poor messenger, less intelligent, servant only. You do not know much about Krishna, how much ungrateful and hard-hearted he is, not only in this life, but also in his previous life also. We have all heard this from our grandmother, Purnamasi. She has informed me that previous to this birth, Krishna was born of a Kshatriya family and was known as Lord Ramchandra. And in that birth also, he, instead of killing Bali, an enemy of his friend, just like a Kshatriya, he killed him just like a hunter. As a hunter takes a secure place, hiding, and then kills another animal without facing the animal. Finally, Lord Ramchandra, as Kshatriya, he should have fought with Bali face to face, but instigated by his friend, he killed him from behind a tree. So he deviated from the religious principle of a Kshatriya. Another thing, that he was so much attracted by the beauty of Sita, that Surpanakha, the sister of Ravana, was converted into ugly woman, being cut off her nose and ears by him. The Surpanakha, of course, proposed some intimate relationship with him. As a Kshatriya, he should have satisfied her. But instead of doing that, he was so much infect that he could not forget Sita Devi and converted Surpanakha into ugly woman. And what to speak of his being a Kshatriya. Before that birth, he took his birth as a Brahmin boy, known as Bhamanadev. The Brahmin boy asked some charity from Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj was so magnanimous that he gave him whatever he had. And still, this Krishna, as Bhamanadev, ungratefully arrested him just like a crow and pushed him down the Patala kingdom. So we know all about Krishna, how much ungrateful he is. But the difficulty is that in spite of his being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talkings about him. Not only we cannot give up, but also great sages and saintly persons, they are also always engaged and talkings about him. We all gopis of Vrindavan do not like anymore to make friendship with this blessed boy, but we do not know how we shall be able to give up his remembrance and talking about his activities. Next one. In other words, Krishna being absolute, his so-called unkind activities are also as good as his kind activities. Therefore, either saintly person or great devotee like the gopis cannot give up Krishna in any circumstances. Lord Chaitanya therefore prayed that, Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. Either you can embrace me or you can trample me down under your feet, whatever you like, or you make me broken-hearted in not being seen throughout my whole life. Still, you are mine, the only object of love. In my opinion, one should not hear about Krishna, because as soon as a drop of the nectarine of his transcendental activities is poured into the ear, immediately one becomes above the platform of duality, attraction and detraction, and being completely freed from the contamination of material attachment, immediately gives up the attachment for this material world, family, home, wife, children, and everything which is so materially dear to every person, and being dispossessed of all material acquisition, makes his relatives unhappy and himself also unhappily wanders in search of Krishna either as a human being or as a bird, and voluntarily accepts the profession of a mendicant. It is very difficult to understand what is Krishna, his name, his quality, his form, his pastime, his paraphernalia, and his entourage. Srimati Radharani continued to speak, you the black messenger of Krishna, please do not talk anymore about Krishna. Better talk something else. We are already doomed like the black-spotted sea deers in the forest who are enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. The same way we have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna, and again and again thinking of his rays of the nails of the straw, we are becoming more and more by the lust of his association. Therefore, I request you not to talk of Krishna anymore. Next verse. This talk of Radharani with the bamboo bee as a messenger, and her talking of accusing Krishna in so many ways, at the same time her inability to give up the talkings, are the signs of transcendental top ecstasy, which is called Mahabhava. This Mahabhava ecstatic manifestation is possible only in the person of Radharani and her associates. Great acharyas like Srila Rupa Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur they have analyzed this talkings of Srimati Radharani, and they have opined that in the Mahabhava sentiment, they are called Udghurna, bewilderment, and Jalpa, Pratijalpa, talking in different ways, and they are the signs of Ujjalara, the most brightest jewel of love of God. In this way, while Radharani was talking with the bee, and the bee was flying hither and thither, all of a sudden, the bee disappeared from the sight of Radharani. So, because he was in full bereavement out of separation from Krishna, so she was feeling ecstasy also by talking with the bee. But as soon as the bee disappeared, she became almost mad, thinking that the messenger bee might have returned to Krishna and must have informed him all about her talking against him, and Krishna must have been very sorry. And in this way, she was very much overwhelmed with another type of ecstasy. In the meantime, the bee flying hither and thither again appeared before her, and she thought that Krishna still is kind upon her, so that in spite of the messenger carrying disruptive messages from her, Krishna is so kind that again he had sent the bee to take her to him. So this time Srimati Radharani was very much careful, and she did not talk anything against Krishna. Rather, she welcomed the bees. "Oh, my dear friend, you have come again. I welcome you." And Krishna is so kind that he has again sent you. So Krishna is so much kind and affectionate to me, that in spite of your carrying contra messages from me, she has again sent you all auspiciousity for you, my dear friend. Now you can ask from me whatever you want, I shall give you. You are so kind upon me that you have come to take me to Krishna, because Krishna is not able to come here on account of being surrounded by new girlfriends in Mathura. But I do not know, you are a teeny creature, how you shall be able to take me there, and how you shall be able to help me meeting Krishna while he is taking rest there along with the goddess of fortune, embracing her by his chest. Never mind, let us forget all these things about my going there or sending you. Please let me know how Krishna is faring there in Mathura. Please tell me if he is remembering still about his great father Nanda Maharaj and affectionate mother Jasoda, and poor friends like us, the gopis, or his cowherd's friends. I am sure he must be sometimes singing about us, because we have served him just like maid servant without any payment. Is there any possibility that Krishna will again come back and place his arm, which is always fragrant on account of a guru scent, and keep it on the head of us when he returns back? Please ask Krishna about all these inquiries. Next paragraph. when Uddhava was standing by, saw Radharani talking in this way, as if she had become almost mad after Krishna, he became exceedingly surprised how the gopis were accustomed to think of Krishna constantly in that topmost ecstatic love, hope, mahabhava. Certainly, he brought some message in writing from Krishna, and now he wanted to present that message before the gopis just to pacify them. And he said as follows, my dear gopis, your mission of human life is now successful. You are all wonderful devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you are just the persons eligible for being worshipped by all kinds of people. You are worshipable throughout the three worlds because your mind is so wonderfully absorbed in the thought of Vasudeva, Krishna. The purpose of all kinds of pious activities and ritualistic performances, like giving in a charity, following rigidly the austerity of some kind of vow, undergoing severe penances, and igniting the fire of sacrifice, chanting of different mantras, reading of the Vedas, controlling the senses, and concentrating the mind in meditation. These are some of the many different processes for self-realization and attainment of perfection of life. But actually, they are only meant for realizing Krishna and be adopted in the transcendent loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita also, that although there are a description of different processes of self-realization, Krishna at the end recommended that one should give up everything aside, simply surrender unto Him. In other words, all other processes, they are meant for teaching one how to surrender ultimately unto the lotus feet of Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita also says that this surrendering process is completed by a sincere person executing the processes of self-realization in wisdom and austerity after many births. So the perfection of such austerity has been completely manifested in the life of the gopis, and Uddhava was fully satisfied by seeing their transcendental condition of life. Uddhava continued to say, my dear gopis, the mentality which you have developed in relationship with Krishna is very, very difficult to be attained even by great sages and saintly persons. As such, you have attained the highest perfectional stage of auspicity. It is a great boon for you that you have fixed up your mind in Krishna and have decided to have Krishna only, giving up your family, home, relatives, husband, children, for the sake of the Supreme Personality. And because your mind is now fully absorbed in Krishna, the Supreme Soul, therefore universal love has automatically developed in you. I think myself to be so fortunate that I have been favored by your grace to see you in this condition of life. I take it a great fortunate incident in my life. Next paragraph. As Uddhava said that he had some message from Krishna. The gopis were more interested in hearing the message from Krishna than to hear about their exalted position on account of devotion to Krishna. They did not like very much to be eulogized on account of their higher position. Therefore, they showed their anxiety to hear from Uddhava the message which he had brought from Krishna. Uddhava said, "My dear gopis, I have been especially deputed to carry this message for you, which, hearing, you are so gentle and great, and Krishna has specifically sent me to you because I am his most confidential servitor." The written message which Uddhava brought from Krishna was not delivered to the gopis by Uddhava, but he personally read it before them. The reason is that the message was very gravely written, not only for understanding of the gopis, but also for understanding of all great empiric philosophers, as how pure love of God is intrinsically integrated with all different kinds of energies of the Supreme Lord. From Vedic information, we understand that the Supreme Lord has multi-energies. Parasya Shakti Vividhaivasya. It appears also the gopis being very intimate personal friends of Krishna, while he was writing the message for them, he was very much moved and he could not write in distinct hand. As explained before, Uddhava was the student of Brihaspati. As such, he had very sharp intelligence, so he thought it wise that instead of handing over the written message to the gopis, it would be better to read them personally and explain to them. Uddhava continued to say, "These are the words from the personality of Godhead, Krishna," within quotation. "My dear gopis, my dear friends, please know that that separation between ourselves is impossible at any time, at any place, or at any circumstance, because I am all-pervading." This all-pervasiveness of Krishna is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, both in the 9th chapter and the 7th chapter, that Krishna is all-pervasive in his impersonal feature. Everything is resting in him, but he is not everywhere. In the 7th chapter also, he says that the five gross elements like earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and the three subtle elements, namely mind, intelligence, and egotism, all these eight elements are his inferior energies. Besides these eight kinds of inferior energies, there is another superior energy which is called the living entity. The living entities are also part and parcel of Krishna directly. Therefore, Krishna is both material and effective cause of everything. He is always intermingled with everything as cause and effect. As such, not only the gopis, but all other living entities are inseparably connected with Krishna always, at all circumstances. The difference is that the gopis are perfectly and thoroughly in cognizance of this relationship, whereas the living entities under the spell of Maya or the inferior energies are forgetful of Krishna, thinking himself as a separate identity without having any connection with Krishna. Love of Krishna or Krishna consciousness is therefore a perfectional stage of real knowledge of understanding things as they are. Our mind can never be vacant. The mind is constantly occupied with some kinds of thought. The subject matter of such thought cannot be outside the eight elements of Krishna's energy. One who knows these philosophical aspects of all our thoughts is actually the wise man, and he surrenders unto Krishna. The gopis are the typical example of this perfectional stage of knowledge. They are not simple mental speculators, but actually they are situated in perfection of knowledge. Because their mind is always in Krishna, mind is nothing but an energy of Krishna. Any person who can think, feel and will as psychic activities cannot be separated from Krishna, but the stage in which he can understand his eternal relationship with Krishna is called Krishna consciousness, and the diseased condition in which he cannot understand his eternal relationship with Krishna is called contaminated stage of Maya. Gopis being on the platform of pure transcendental knowledge, their minds are always full with Krishna consciousness. In this connection, one crude example can be cited, just like the fire and the air. Whenever there is air, it is to be understood that there is fire. And whenever there is fire, it is to be understood that there is air. As there is no separation between fire and air, similarly, there is no separation between Krishna and the living entity. On the part of the living entities, when there are forgetfulness of Krishna, that is not normal condition. So far the gopis are concerned, because they are always full in thought of Krishna, they are in the absolute state of perfection in the matter of knowledge. The so-called empiric philosophers sometimes think that the path of bhakti is meant for less intelligent class of men, but actually, unless the so-called man of knowledge comes to the platform of bhakti, his knowledge is certainly impure and imperfect. Actually, the stage of forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with Krishna is a separation. That is also illusory, because actually there is no such separation. Gopis are not situated in that illusory condition of life, so even from philosophical point of view, there is no separation from Krishna or the gopis. Nothing is separated from me. The whole cosmic manifestation is also resting on me and non-separated from me, because before the creation, I was existing. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature that before creation, there was only Narayana. There was no Brahma, no Shiva. Eko Narayana Asit na Brahma na Ishana. The whole cosmic manifestation is manipulated by the three modes of material nature. So, Brahma is the incarnation of the quality of passion. It is said that Brahma created this universe, but Brahma is secondary creator. The original creator is Narayana. This is also conferred by Shankaracharya, that Narayana abhyat para. Narayana is transcendental, beyond this cosmic manifestation. In this way, the cosmic manifestation is also not separated from Krishna, and anything within this cosmic manifestation is non-separated from Krishna. Although Krishna is not visible formally in everything, Krishna creates, maintains, and annihilates the whole cosmic manifestation by expanding himself in different incarnations. This way, everything is Krishna, everything is depending on Krishna, but in the material energy, he is not perceived. Therefore, it is called Maya or illusion. Whereas in the spiritual energy, he is perceived in every step and all circumstances. Such perfection and stage of understanding is represented by the gopi. As Krishna is always aloof from this cosmic manifestation, although the cosmic manifestation is completely dependent on him. Similarly, a living entity is also completely aloof from his material conditional life, although the material body has developed on the basis of spiritual existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, the whole cosmic manifestation is accepted as the mother of the living entities, and Krishna is the father of all living entities. As the father impregnates the mother by injecting the living entity within the womb, similarly, all the living entities are injected by Krishna in the womb of the material nature, and they have come out in different bodies according to their different fruitive activity. But a living entity in all circumstances is aloof from all this material conditional life. For concrete example, if we simply study our own body, we can understand how a living entity is always aloof from this bodily engagement. Every action in our body is taking place by the interaction of the three modes of material nature. We can see that in every moment, every day, there are so many changes are taking place in our body, but still, I, the spirit soul, is aloof from such changes. I cannot create or annihilate or interfere with such actions of the material nature. A living entity is therefore entrapped only by this material body, and he is conditioned in three stages, namely awakening, sleeping, and unconsciousness. The mind is acting through all these three conditions of life, and I am simply seer, living entity, therefore, in a sleeping condition, sees something as real, and in his awakening condition, he sees the same thing as non-real. It is concluded, therefore, under certain circumstances, he accepts something as real, and under another circumstances, he accepts the same very thing as non-real. All these things are different subject matters for the empiric philosophers called the Sankhya Yogins. And such Sankhya Yogins, in order to arrive to the right conclusion, undergo severe austerities and penances, renouncement, controlling of the senses, pursuing the path of truthfulness, and combined together, they are exactly like a great ocean, insurmountable. And it is very difficult to cross over it and come to the right conclusion. In other words, all these different paths of determining the ultimate goal of life are compared as a river, where Krishna is the ocean, as a river is gliding down towards the ocean. Similarly, all attempt for knowledge is gliding towards Krishna. After many, many births of such endeavoring, one can actually come to the point of Krishna, then he attains the stage of perfection. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is therefore said by the Lord that everyone is pursuing the path of realizing me, but because they have adopted different process without any bhakti, devotional service, their progressive endeavor is very troublesome. Klesha adhikatara stesha. Krishna cannot be understood without coming to the point of bhakti. In the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, the three parts, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga, are enunciated. Namely, those who are too much addicted to the fruitive activities, they are advised to act such for realization of bhakti. Those who are addicted to the persuasion of empiric philosophy, they are advised to act in such way to realize bhakti. Karma yoga is therefore different from ordinary karma, and jnana yoga is therefore different from ordinary jnana. And ultimately, as stated by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyanam abhijanati, only through execution of devotional service one can understand Krishna. This perfectional stage of devotional service was achieved by the gopis because they did not care to know anything else more than Krishna. This supramental knowledge is confirmed in the Vedas as jasmin vijñāti sarvamedam vijñātam bhavanti, means simply by knowing Krishna, all other subordinate knowledges become acquired automatically. Krishna continued to say that this transcendental knowledge of the Absolute is not anymore a necessary thing for you, because from the very beginning of your life you are accustomed to love me. Knowledge of the Absolute Truth is specifically required for persons who want to get liberation from the material existence. But one who has attained love for Krishna, they are already in that platform of liberation, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that anyone who is engaged in devotional service of Krishna unalloyedly, such person is to be considered staying in the transcendental platform of liberation. The gopis were actually not feeling any pangs of material existence, but they were feeling the separation of Krishna. Krishna therefore said, my dear gopis, do not to increase your super excellent transcendental love for me. I have purposefully separated you from me so that constantly you may be in meditation for me. Next, here is the perfectional stage of meditation also. The yogis are generally very much fond of devotional service to the Lord without knowing that perfectional stage of devotion means attainment of the perfectional stage of yoga system. This sort of meditation by the gopis constantly about Krishna is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as a topmost position of a yogi. Krishna knew very well the psychology of the minds of women. When the beloved person of a woman is away from the sight, the woman thinks of the beloved more meditatively than the beloved being present before her. Krishna wanted to teach by the behavior of the gopis that anyone who is constantly in trance like the gopi surely attains ultimately the lotus feet of Krishna by such meditation without any doubt. Next paragraph. Lord Chaitanya therefore specifically taught people in general the method of Vipralambha Seva, means rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the feeling of separation. The six Goswamis also taught us how to worship Krishna in the feeling of the gopis by separation. In the prayers of Srinivas Acharya for the Goswamis, these things are very clearly stated. Srinivas Acharya said that the Goswamis were always absorbed in the ocean of transcendental feelings by the gopis. When they lived in Vrindavan, they are always searching after Krishna. Where you are, Krishna? Where you are, the gopis? Where you are, Srimati Radharani? They never said that we have now seen Radha and Krishna and therefore our mission is now fulfilled. They remained always in the unfulfillment of their mission to meet Radha and Krishna. In this connection, Krishna reminded the gopis that some of them who could not join the Rasila dance with him, they gave up their bodies simply by thinking of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna consciousness by the feelings of separation is the quickest method for attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna. Next verse. In this way, by the personal statement of Krishna, the gopis were convinced about the strength of the feelings of separation, because actually they were experiencing such supernatural method of Krishna worship, and thus they were much relieved by understanding that Krishna is not away from them, he is always with them. By the words of Uddhava, the gopis being thus relieved, they received him very happily and began to speak as follows. We have heard the good news that King Kansa was always a source of trouble for the Yadu dynasty, is now killed. This is a good news for us. We hope, therefore, that the members of the Yadu dynasty are now very much happy in the association of Krishna, who can fulfill all desires of his devotees. My dear Uddhava, would you kindly let us know whether Krishna, in the midst of highly enlightened society girls from Mathura, does sometimes think of us. We know that the women and girls in Mathura city are not village women. They are more enlightened, they are more beautiful. Therefore, their behavior with Krishna, their beautiful smiling, tactful glance, and other feminine features must have been very much pleasing to Krishna. We know it very well that Krishna is always very much fond of such behavior of beautiful woman, we will guess therefore in Mathura he has thus been entrapped by such a woman. My dear Uddhava, would you kindly let me know if sometimes Krishna remembers about us while he is in the midst of the society of such girls and women? Another gopi inquired whether Krishna remembers that particular night when in the midst of Kumudini flowers and full moonlight, when Vrindavan became exceedingly beautiful, at that time Krishna was dancing with the gopis and the atmosphere was surcharged with the sounds of footbell, both of Krishna and the gopis, and there were pleasing conversations exchanged between him and the gopis. Does he remember that particular night? We, the gopis, however, remember that particular night, and why we remember the occasion specifically, we feel separation of Krishna and immediately become agitated as if there is fire in the body. Does he propose to come back again in Vrindavan to extinguish this fire, just like the cloud appears in the sky to extinguish the forest fire by pouring water on it? Another gopi said, now Krishna has killed his enemy and he has victoriously achieved the kingdom of Kamsa. He might be married with a king's daughter by this time, and he is very happy amongst his kinsmen and friends. Therefore, why shall he come here in this village of Vrindavan? Another gopi says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, and he is self-sufficient. He has no business either with us, the girls in the Vrindavan forest, nor with the city girls in the Mathura city. He is a great super soul. He has nothing to do with us here or there. Another gopi says that it is now unreasonable hope for us to expect Krishna coming back to Vrindavan. Therefore, we should try to be happy in disappointment. Even the great prostitute Pingala said that disappointment is the greatest pleasure. All of us, we know all these things, but still it is very difficult for us to give up the expectation of Krishna's coming back here again. Who can forget the solitary conversation with Krishna, on whose breast the Goddess of Fortune always remains, in spite of Krishna's not desiring for her? My dear Buddha, the Lord, we may inform you that this Vrindavan is a land of river, forest, house, vibration of the flute, and our Krishna, along with his elder brother, Sri Balaram, enjoy this atmosphere in our company. As such, all the atmospheric condition of Vrindavan are constantly reminding us of Krishna and Balaram. And although we know that on the impression of his footprint on the land of Vrindavan is a place of presence of the Goddess of Fortune, still such sign cannot help us forgetting Krishna. In other words, the gopis express that Vrindavan is still full of all opulence and good fortune. There is no scarcity and want in Vrindavan, so far material necessities are concerned, but still, in spite of all such opulence, they could not forget Krishna and Balaram. We are constantly remembering various attractive features of beautiful Krishna in the matter of his going on, his smiling, his joking words. We have all been lost by the such dealings of Krishna. Now it is impossible for us to forget him. We are always praying for him, exclaiming, "Oh, my dear Lord, my dear husband of the Goddess of Fortune, my dear Lord of Vrindavan, and the deliverer of distressed devotees, we are now fallen and merged into the ocean of distress. Please therefore come back again in Vrindavan and deliver us from this pitiable condition of life." So Uddhava minutely studied the transcendental abnormal condition of the gopis on account of separation from Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, Uddhava, thought it wise to repeat over and over, again and again, all the pastimes of Sri Krishna, the gopis' experience in association with Krishna. As the materialistic persons are always in a burning condition on account of the blazing fire of material miseries, and similarly, the gopis were also exactly burning in some transcendental blazing fire on account of separation from Krishna. This blazing fire, which was exasperating the gopis, is however distinct from the blazing fire of the material world. The gopis wanted constantly the association of Krishna, whereas the materialistic person wants constantly the advantage of material comforts. It is suggested by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that Krishna saved the cowherd's boy from the blazing fire of the forest within the twinkling of eyes simply by closing their eyes. Similarly, Uddhava also suggested the gopis to close their eyes and meditate on the activities of Krishna from the very beginning of their association with him. And the gopis could visualize all the pastimes of Krishna with them outside from the description received from Uddhava and inside by remembering those pastimes. By the instruction of Uddhava, the gopis could understand that Krishna was not separated from them because as they were constantly thinking of Krishna, Krishna was also thinking of them constantly at Mathura. So Uddhava's messages and instruction about Krishna to the gopis saved them from immediate death, and the gopis acknowledged the benediction received from Uddhava. Uddhava practically acted as the preceptor, spiritual master of the gopis, and the gopis in return worshipped him exactly on the level of Krishna, as it is recommended in authoritative scriptures that the spiritual master, either initiator or preceptor, should be worshipped on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on account of his being a very confidential servitor. It is accepted by great authorities that spiritual master is external manifestation of Krishna. So the gopis were relieved from their transcendental burning condition, internally realizing that Krishna is with them simply by remembering his association within their hearts, and externally Uddhava helped them in associating with Krishna by conclusive instruction. Next paragraph. Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is described in the scripture as adhokaja, means beyond the perception of our material senses. So, although he is beyond the perception of material senses, he is at the same time present in everyone's heart. At the same time, he is present everywhere by his all-pervasive feature as Brahma. Therefore, the three kinds of transcendental features of the Absolute Truth can be realized as Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, as Paramatma, the localized super soul, and the all-pervasive Brahma, simply by studying the condition of the gopis as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with Uddhava's meeting with the gopis. It is said by Srinivas Acharya that the six Goswamis were always merged in such thoughts of the activities of the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also recommended the gopis a thought of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Excellent. Srila Sukadeva Goswami also has recommended that anyone who hears about the dealings of the gopis with Krishna from the right source and follows the instruction in the right course, certainly such person will be elevated to the topmost position of devotional service and be able to give up the lust of material enjoyment. In this way, only gopis were solaced by the instruction of Uddhava. They requested him to stay in Vrindavan for a few days more, and Uddhava agreed to their proposal, and he stayed with them not only for a few days, but for a few months, and always kept them engaged in the transcendental message of Krishna and his pastimes, so that the gopis were exactly feeling the same condition of life as they experienced directly in association with Krishna. So long Uddhava remained in Vrindavan, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan enjoyed his association simply by discussing on the activities of Krishna, and in this way their days were passed just like moments. Vrindavan's natural atmospheric condition by the presence of the river Jamuna, nice bushes of trees, the Govardhan hill, its nice caves, the blooming flowers, and the trees decorated with different kinds of fruits, all these things combined together, helped Uddhava to narrate Krishna's pastimes to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and they enjoyed Uddhava's association exactly in the same way as they did in the association of Krishna. Uddhava was also specifically attracted by the attitude of the gopis, how much they were attracted by Krishna, and inspired by the anxiety of the gopis for Krishna, began to offer them his respectful obeisances and compose songs in praise of their transcendental qualities, which he sung himself as follows. Amongst all the living entities who have accepted this human form of life, the gopis are superexcellently successful in the mission of their life, because their complete thought is eternally absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna. Both the great sages of the world and ourselves are trying to be absorbed in such meditation, namely constantly thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna. But the gopis have automatically been accustomed to this habit without any yogic practice. I therefore conclude that anyone who has attained such condition of life does not require to take birth in a Brahmin family, or to be initiated as a Brahmin, or even to take birth as a Lord Brahma. In other words, Sri Uddhava confirmed the statement of Bhagavad Gita spoken by Lord Krishna, that anyone who takes shelter unto him in a right process, may he be a Shudra or a woman, or even born in lower gate family, such person must attain the highest goal of life. The gopis have thought, therefore, to the whole world that following the footsteps of the gopis, by constantly thinking of Krishna, one can attain the highest perfectional stage of spiritual perfection. These gopis are women, not born of very highly cultured family. Mostly they are born of cowherd men family, and considered to be rural and uncultured. Still, they have developed the highest culmination of love of Krishna, who is the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Supreme Brahma. From their examples, it is rightly concluded that for self-realization or God-realization, there is no need of taking birth in high family. The only thing needed is ecstatic development of love for God, as exactly the gopis did. For achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, therefore, nobody requires any other qualification than to be constantly engaged in the loving service of Krishna, as the gopis did. Krishna is the supreme nectar, reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna consciousness, therefore, will act in its own way, exactly in the same manner as if one drinks a nectarine, knowingly or unknowingly, it will act. The active principle of Krishna consciousness will equally manifest everywhere. It does not matter how and where one has taken his birth. Anyone, therefore, who takes to Krishna consciousness, Krishna will bestow his benediction upon him without any doubt. The supreme benediction which the gopis attain, in spite of their being born in the family of cowherd men, was never attained even by the goddess of fortune herself, and what to speak of the denizens of heaven, where the bodily flavor of woman is exactly like the lotus flower. The gopis are so much fortunate that during Rasa Leela, Krishna personally embraced them with his arms. Krishna kissed them face to face and subtly. This was impossible to be achieved by any other woman in the three worlds except the gopi. I wish, therefore, to take my birth as one of the plants and keepers in Vrindavan. Are so fortunate that the gopis trample over their body. Lord Krishna, he is Mukunda himself, is such after by great sages and saintly persons, has been so much lovingly accepted by the gopis, and for Krishna's sake, they have left everything, their friends, their family, their children, their homes and all worldly connections.
When Uddhava appreciated the exalted position of the gopis, he thought within his mind to fall down and test the dust of their feet on his head. At the same time, he was disappointed that if he would ask the gopis to offer such dust from their feet, perhaps they would not be agreeable. He therefore desired to have his head smeared with the dust of gopis' feet without their knowledge. As such, he desired to become one of the insignificant grass or herbs on the land of Vrindavan. The idea is the gopis are so much attracted to Krishna that when they hear the vibration of the flute of Krishna, instantly they leave their home, family, children, honor, prestige, feminine blissfulness, everything on account of Krishna, and they run towards the place where Krishna is standing, vibrating his flute. At that time, the gopis did not consider whether they were passing through the regular way or through the jungles of Vrindavan. In that way, imperceptibly, the dust of their feet are bestowed on such small grasses and herbs of Vrindavan. He therefore desires that the aspiration of having the dust of gopis' feet not being fulfilled in this life, he aspires in future to have some opportunity to get the position of the grass and the herb so that he would be able to have the dust on the feet of the gopis. Uddhava appreciated the extraordinary fortune of the gopis because they relieved themselves from all kinds of material pains and anxieties by placing on their beautiful high breast the lotus feet of Krishna, which is not only worshipped by the goddess of fortune, but also by such exalted demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and which is meditated upon by great yogis within their heart. Thus, Uddhava desires that he would constantly pray for being honored by the dust of the gopis' lotus feet, whose chanting of the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna has become celebrated all over the three worlds. In this way, after living in Vrindavan for some days, Uddhava desired to go back to Krishna, and thus he begged permission from Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda. After this, he had farewell meeting with the gopis and taking permission of them also, he got up on the chariot to start for Mathura. Next paragraph. When Uddhava got up on the chariot, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda, they came to bid goodbye to Uddhava and presented him with various kinds of valuable goods that they could secure in Vrindavan. They could simply express their feelings with tears in the eyes on account of their intense attachment for Krishna. All of them desired Uddhava's good wishes, that they could simply remember always the glorious activities of Krishna. Their mind may be always fixed up on his lotus feet. Their words may always be engaged in glorifying Krishna, and their body may always be engaged in bowing down by remembering Krishna constantly. This prayer of the inhabitants of Vrindavan is the super excellent type of self-realization. The methods are very simple: to fix up the mind always on the lotus feet of Krishna, to talk of Krishna always without talking of any other subject matter, and to engage the body in Krishna's service constantly. This is the verdict of all authorities, that one should specifically in this human form of life engage his life, resources, words and intelligence, everything for the service of the Lord. Such kind of activities only can elevate a human being to the highest level of perfection. The inhabitants of Vrindavan continue to say that by the will of the Supreme Authority, we may take our birth anywhere as a result of our own work. It doesn't matter wherever we are placed, but our only prayer is that we may simply be engaged in Krishna consciousness. In other words, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna never deserves to be promoted to the heavenly planets or even to the Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, because for their personal satisfaction they have no desire. A pure devotee treats both heaven and hell on the equal level. For them, without Krishna, heaven is hell, and with Krishna, hell is heaven. This way, when Uddhava was sufficiently honored and worshipped by the pure devotees of Vrindavan, he returned back to Mathura to his master Krishna. After reaching Mathura, they offered their respect by bowing down before Lord Krishna and Balaram, and began to describe the wonderful situation of devotional life of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Then he presented all the gifts given by the inhabitants of Vrindavan to Vasudeva, father of Krishna, and Ugrasen, grandfather of Krishna. Next verse. That ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 47th chapter, Krishna, in the matter of Uddhava's delivery of the message to the gopis.